This program is pre-recorded.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Here's a Relevant Radio miracle moment.
I just wanted to share a little bit about my alcoholism. Somewhere along the line, someone had told me that Jesus heals and Jesus can help and fill me up. And someone planted that seed in my mind, and it took years and years and years for it to grow. And one day I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I sought out a priest out in Washington State. I made my first confession in 11 years, and now I'm on the road to recovery. I'm actually discerning with Franciscan, start my postulancy in July. But it wasn't until I was so desperate that I decided to give Jesus an honest try, and it actually worked. It's one of the biggest blessings in my life.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you. Relevant Radio is listener supported. Give online at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app.
Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverenz. Here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. 3 minutes after the hour, Monday, November 9th, 2020. And we start by saying thank you. Thank you for your extraordinary generosity in joining the family last week. Our Relevant Radio Fall Pledge Drive. Wow. We're kind of running out of ways to say thank you for your generosity and keeping Relevant Radio on the air for another 90 days. By the way, if you haven't joined the family, there's still time. If you didn't have an opportunity last week, you wanted to but just couldn't get to it, you can make that tax-deductible contribution right now at relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app. But thank you again for your extraordinary generosity last week in our Relevant Radio Join the Family Pledge Drive. Coming up in this hour of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, patience. Was it tested over the weekend? A little patience? Yeah, mine was tested as well. So how to bring that virtue of patience into your life. And also, last week, as part of our Join the Family Pledge Drive, it was a way to evangelize by giving to Relevant Radio, by telling people about Relevant Radio, introducing them to Relevant Radio on the Relevant Radio app. Perhaps that's how you've become an evangelizer, part of who we are as lay people, our mission for evangelization, living out our baptismal promises. We'll give you some more suggestions coming up when Professor Alan Wright joins us in this hour. And Glenn's got a fresh story corner first thing on this Monday morning. And one of the things that we do at the beginning of every hour is the morning offering. We invite you to join us and pray to start the day now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 7 after the hour now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Excuse me, 6 after the hour. I don't want to cheat you out of a minute here, especially first thing on Monday morning. And as we begin this brand new day, perhaps you were thinking over the weekend, you know, I got to step up my game spiritually and otherwise. And in stepping up your game spiritually and otherwise, we ask for the Holy Spirit to really motivate us, to move us from maybe just being lukewarm to being hot, not only about our faith, but also about using all of the gifts and graces that God has given us, not only in our spiritual journey, but also in the secular world as well. So how do we move from just kind of being lukewarm to being red hot, from mediocrity to excellence, if you will? Father John Gordon is our spiritual director this morning. And he'll help us with that. Father is the Acting Vicar for Pastoral Life and the Coordinator of the Office for Evangelization in the Archdiocese of Newark. Father, welcome back.
Good morning, John. God bless you. Good to be with you on this this so far fine day.
Moving mediocrity to excellence. We have been using this so much in the last 24 hours, we have claimed permanent possession of it. And it is a quote from the young parochial vicar, just ordained a couple of years, at St. Anastasia Parish in Teaneck, New Jersey, in your archdiocese, Father Danny, who said, especially in the light of COVID-19, we've heard about being asymptomatic, of feeling fine but carrying the virus. He said, think about this. Are you an asymptomatic Catholic? An asymptomatic Catholic. You're Catholic on the inside, but nobody knows about it on the outside. And isn't that what we're talking about in moving from that mediocrity to excellence? Because I've been an asymptomatic Catholic many times in my life.
Wow, that's a great image. I remember back in the day when I was in high school, a very, very favorite phrase was that if they were arresting people for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you, kind of thing. It's that same notion that somehow our faith needs to be expressed and visible in some way, shape, or form. But I think this talk of going from mediocrity to excellence, the one of the ways in which that kind of first attracted my attention was at the end of the Jubilee of the year 2000. You may recall now Pope St. John Paul II came out with a document, I think it was called Novo Millennio Ineunte, which is as the new millennium begins type of thing. And then he developed a pastoral strategy, and he had 10 priorities. And the first priority was holiness. And then he went on to define holiness very simply, almost, as no more mediocrity. And I remember that struck me very powerfully. I was already aware that holiness wasn't the same as pious or being devout, although there were certainly attributes of holiness. But holiness was about living fully for God, or I think even more powerfully, having God live fully in me. But this sense of moving from mediocrity to excellence powerfully grabbed me, because I think too often in our lives, we allow mediocrity. Good enough is good enough, you know, maybe not in everything we do, but in many things that we do. We allow whatever it might be. As I'm sitting, I look at my office or my room or wherever I am, and I realize I have piles of things. I have a mess of things. That's not being excellent. Yes, there's some areas in which I strive for excellence, but other areas which I do not. And I think that when I'm gripped with the spirit of, am I, according as you quoted Matthew Kelly, being the best version of myself? Well, to be the best version of myself is to be the best version of myself always and everywhere. And that's something that I need to consciously strive for. And I think that that Ignatian discipline of the consciousness examine, the review of the day in some the Jesu Caritas speaks of the review of life, that there's a way in which I'm examining myself in such a way that says, is excellence the norm here? Is that what I'm striving for? Mm-hmm. Or, I got the job done. That's good enough.
How do you not pressure yourself, Father Gordon, as you're trying to move from mediocrity to excellence? And, you know, all of us are trying to reach that level of holiness. And as you've heard me quote my spiritual director, his definition of holiness is goodness. And that's what puts it within reach for us. But how do you not put pressure on yourself to go from mediocrity to excellence and then make excellence perfection, because only God is perfect?
Well, I guess maybe that will be where your next guest will be also very helpful on this virtue of patience, because I think that in the first place, for me to have patience, I need to have patience with myself before I can consider having patience with anybody else. Oh, by the way, I had to smile when you were talking about how you lose your patience. I thought to myself, well, good thing he's not a doctor.
That's
not a good thing
right.
Either, but that's a different patient. Yes. I think you're talking about.
Yeah, completely different. You know, when you lose your patience and you almost have this out of body experience, like you're watching yourself in the sitcom, you see yourself doing it. You hear the words coming out of your mouth and it's like, ah, and sometimes you can catch yourself and apologize. Other times you just kind of feed into it. And it's so embarrassing. In one particular instance, I went back and just said, I'm sorry, I was out of line. I shouldn't have done that. Right. But that doesn't happen all the time, to be honest.
But, you know, sometimes I think many of us think, oh, well, I'm only impatient when I'm on the highway. Well, if you're impatient there, you're probably impatient other places too. But besides, I don't want to spill into the next guy's topic, but I think in terms of, dealing with myself, with my own mediocrity, my own lack of excellence, how do I kind of move to that? Well, I think there's a way in which forgiveness is also, patience is also forgiveness to the self. I need to say it's okay to be human. And, human means I need to repent and forgive. It doesn't mean that I just allow my imperfections to be okay, but I have them, and I'm always going to have them. And that doesn't give me, and I think the converted heart would be one that says, well, that makes me strive for perfection, but not in a frantic, frenetic kind of way, but in a trusting way. Because if this move from mediocrity to excellence is an expression of holiness or goodness, as your spiritual director says, but that's really about God's goodness in me. It's not about my goodness. John the Baptist says it well, I must decrease, he must increase. And so consequently, real excellence, real patience, real holiness, real virtue is about letting the Spirit of God that was given to me at baptism, strengthened at confirmation, and floods me over and over again, especially when I encounter the sacraments, allow that Holy Spirit, that Jesus, who makes Jesus alive in me, just like he did for Mary at the Annunciation, allow that grace of God to grow and grow and grow in me. And I realize that that's a lifetime project, but one that is the needle moving slightly one way or another every day. A couple of years ago, I read a book, I think it was by Regis Martin, on the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And one of the things that he mentioned there, and which is kind of, when I bring it to my consciousness, is very, very helpful. He says, at every moment of every day, I'm ordering myself one way towards heaven or towards hell. It's not like I'm back and forth like a ping pong or something like that, wildly going from hell to heaven, but every moment, every decision I make, every comment I utter, every thought I have, is that aligning me more towards heaven, towards excellence, as it were, being the best version of myself, or is it aligning me away from it? Maybe not directly. I'm not on the way to hell. I'm not way off course, but I'm not going to hit it straight on. And I think that that's part of what it means to be excellent. Say, Lord, I want your life, your character, your way of thinking to be what grabs my character, my way of life, my thinking.
It seems that when we feel what we're doing matters, we tend to do it better. So whether it's our job or just taking care of the yard, if we can kind of internalize that we're doing it all as if for the Lord, that can make a big difference.
That's right. That's right, Glenn. I think it's a conscious attempt and decision on our part to choose to live well this day. And every so often we have little moments of breaks throughout the day in which I can pause for a moment. You know, for myself even, it's going to sound so weird and corny, but if I have to go to the restroom during the day, it gives me a chance to just stop and think for a minute. Okay, John, where are you going? What are you doing now? Is this what's supposed to be happening? Are you bringing your A game to this? And it just is a little moment, because as the other thing I'm sure of is, at that moment when I am doing what I'm doing, I am in the center of God's will for my life at that moment. That is exactly what God wants me to be doing at that moment. I can't say that for almost any other moment of my life, but I can say that. I know that sounds so silly and weird and almost stupid, but it's a little moment of like, oh, I can just pause here, and at the same time, here in the center of God's will, so to speak, for me, well, where else am I able to be confident that I'm in the center of God's will for me and strive for that? And I think that for people, if you're listening to this, dear listeners, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, that's too much work. I can't be bothered with that. I just have to go, go, go. I have such a busy, paced life, or I'm not a reflective person. I don't like to think about myself, or whatever it might be. I just want to encourage you to say, it's not that dramatic a step. It's just a moment to say, Lord, I want to be where you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to say what you want me to say. I want to think what you want me to think. And if we just make that simple little act of the will, God will provide so much more for us that those desires will grow in us. I've experienced that to be so very true in my life.
And that act of the will makes it just a part of our breathing. It's just who we are. It's our spiritual DNA. And then you realize that you're living it, and you see all of those opportunities that you have in front of you. Thanks be to the Holy Spirit who helps you open your eyes with that. As we speak with Father John Gordon this morning, our spiritual director and the acting vicar for pastoral life and the coordinator of the Office for Evangelization in the Archdiocese of Newark, New Jersey, what we're doing is simply moving our spiritual needle from mediocrity to excellence. When have you seen those moments in your life when you say, okay, I've been at this speed for you, God, and I really need to ramp it up a little bit? What's happened to you? When did you have that spiritual aha moment when you realized, you know what, I need to do a little bit more in my relationship, my romance with God? Love to hear your stories. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You know, Father Gordon, the providential timing of having this conversation the day after the feast day of St. Teresa of Avila, she had that moment of saying, wait a minute, I'm just kind of walking through it. And some of the other Carmelites, I'm just kind of walking through this. And she took it from mediocrity to excellence on her path to sainthood.
It's funny you say that. That was my chance to invoke my spiritual director. because I just met with him yesterday and we were discussing this topic because I knew we would be beginning to address that today. And he's a Carmelite himself. And he spoke about St. Teresa of Avila and how she was consciously about excellence. And because of that, she was able to be the great reformer that she was able to be. She wasn't seeking to change the order. She was seeking to change herself. But in so doing, she made a significant impact, not only on the Carmelite order, but therefore on the whole church and therefore the whole world. And that's what excellence can do. It just makes sure that our little portion of the vineyard is at its best spot. And that begins to make a difference to others. And so consequently, if we're surrounded by mediocrity, we need to begin to break through with that. And one of the things that we can do is to just find at least one other person that is striving for excellence, maybe in the same field we're in or some area that we're in, or even if it's just a commitment to share with each other, the commitment to pray or whatever it might be. But having somebody else really is a very good step to moving from mediocrity to excellence, to moving that needle. It's very difficult to do it when we're on our own. Mm-hmm. But when we kind of yoke ourselves to another person, to seek an environment, other relationships that are striving for the same thing. I know that I love to pray in a place where other people are praying. If I'm in a space where other people are giving their 110%, I'm going to give them more, the same as well. But if I'm in a place where it's just, oh, mediocre is okay, you know, we're just fine as it is, then you tend to kind of, oh, I guess that's all right then too. Why am I working so hard? And that makes a big difference how I surround myself and how I choose to see where are my partners here.
Speaking of that point of surrounding yourself and moving from mediocrity to excellence, how do you not fall into the trap of lording it over everybody else or say, look at me, I'm super Catholic? How do you share, again, go from an asymptomatic Catholic to one who's just sharing your faith outward without being intrusive where that your faith becomes organic? They just kind of feel it. It becomes a part of them as well.
I think if we are tempted to lord it over others in a certain way, then we are certainly relatively far from the excellence that we say we're at. One of the things I've noticed is that every saint recognizes that they're a sinner, but every sinner thinks they're a saint. and so, you know, when you know, truly, truly holy person will have the virtue of humility, as well as patience and all those other virtues. And so they're never going to see themselves as exceptional or even excellent. They're just going to see themselves as, I'm a poor sinner. Thanks be to God, touched by his grace. So they're very aware of their sin, and they make serious confession. They make serious awareness, serious examination of the self. But the person who's more steeped in sin than holiness thinks they're a saint. I don't do anything wrong. Why should I go to confession? I don't kill anybody. And that kind of, it's an interesting attitude. Every saint knows they're a sinner. Every sinner thinks they're a saint. And it's like, wow, so John, what am I thinking of myself? If I think I'm a sinner, well, then probably I'm in a good place. If I think I'm doing okay, then I'm really not. And so I think when we're tempted to think I've got it better than somebody else, we're in a problem. To be grateful that I've got it better than I had it before, now that's a blessing. Mm-hmm. But not to be thinking I've got it better than somebody else, because I don't. I don't know the inner person. I don't know their inner life. And even if I have some insight into it, the fruit of it should be that I pray for that person, that I support that person, that I love that person.
Father, before we spend too much time admiring ourselves as super Catholics, in the same way that we're supposed to speak the truth in love, ought we kind of be excellent in love? I mean, do our best at whatever we're doing, but, you know, not be overly boastful and prideful about it.
Certainly, certainly. And you know, those little phrases from 1 Corinthians 13 about love is patient, love is kind, love does not take offense. Love delights in the good of the other. Love does not gloat over another side, kind of thing. There's all sorts of ways which we can fill in those blanks. And I think that's very, very, very true, Glenn, that excellence is going to permeate not just some activity of mine or some aspect of my life. I might start with that, but it's going to flow into other things. And very often we have to start with something. What is it that I most want to excel in my life? And it's okay, dear listeners, if your attraction to excellence isn't in the first place on the spiritual. if your traction for excellence is on maybe physical health or maybe on your workplace or maybe on the job that you do, that's an okay place to start, because that desire for excellence is a desire placed there by God. The devil does not seek excellence. Believe me, the devil does not want us to be excel in anything except sin. And then if we grow in excellence in whatever area that is, it will very naturally and supernaturally spill into other areas, which we'll discover are even more important than my workplace and the work that I do, more important than my physical health, more important than anything else is my relationship with God. But if that's not what's the first desire that I have, don't be thinking, oh, he's not talking to me. Every one of us, dear friends, ought to be striving for excellence, at least in some area of our life. And if we do that faithfully, I'm sure I've experienced it. It will overflow to all the other areas of our life as well.
Father John Gordon, our spiritual director this morning, as we move from mediocrity to excellence. And by the way, one more point on that S on our chest. It could either be super Catholic or the lesson in humility. The S stands for sinner. And that's what it is in my case. And that's also something that we can remember. At the end of the day, if we can do our examination of conscience, Father Gordon, and just see where we have made a difference, maybe in some very subtle ways, from letting somebody out of an intersection, holding the door, doing some act of kindness, we're on the way of moving that needle from mediocrity to excellence.
Yes, we are. And I think when we discover that in ourselves, we should be grateful for it. Not patting ourselves on the back, we might break our arm, but allowing ourselves to say, thank you, Lord, for the grace to be patient in that moment, or to be generous in that moment. Help me to do that again tomorrow. So we shouldn't be just saying, oh, shucks, it was nothing. No, Lord, every victory is a victory, but it's a victory for God in us. So I think that's very, very helpful to do that kind of examination. And at the same time, when I realize I blew it there, Lord, help me not to do that tomorrow, is also very, very humbling and grateful.
Great spiritual direction this morning from Father John Gordon as we all try to move that needle today. And that's our holy homework, to move it from mediocrity to excellence. Father Gordon is the acting vicar for pastoral life, the coordinator of the Office for Evangelization in the Archdiocese of Newark. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Glenn. God bless you, Relevant Radio. Peace to all.
Father, thanks for that spiritual direction this morning here on Morning Air on this Monday morning. If your patience was tried over the weekend, if patience is not a virtue in your life, we've got help for you next on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.